ministry called Activate Love, but he also just is a passionate lover of Jesus, and I've had an opportunity to visit with him, and I just told him, hey man, just do what you do, and allow the Holy Spirit to use you today, and there'll probably be some prophetic ministry time. We just said however it works, and but we just want to welcome him today, so let's give him a hand as he comes this morning, Jamie. I just want to speak a blessing over him here. So if you would, guys, just reach your hand out. Father, we thank you for this son. God, we thank you for this man. We thank you, Lord, for this yielded vessel today. We receive him today, God, as someone that you sent, God, for our good. And someone who's carrying something, God, that you've deposited in him to be released. And so, Father, we put a draw on the eternal seed, the gift, and the anointing that you deposited within him. Lord, we speak a blessing today, God, over him, that he would release what you've given him, God, and that you would be honored in this. And we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott. So good to spend time with Scott and Kelly last night and family and hamburgers. You know, that's always good to get together around a hamburger. I think anyway, yeah. And I've been a Christian a long time. I've been in and out of a lot of different churches. I participated in several different movements, and you know, there's as many different kinds of Christians as there are kinds of bugs. Yeah. You know, I mean, but you know, there are Christians that are, many of us are some are passionate. With maybe a little shy on content, you know. Some are content, maybe a little shy on passion. And what I appreciate about Scott is, you know, he's got tremendous content. I mean, he's like a walking concordance is what I sense. But the passion is there too. You marry passion and content together and look out, you know. And so I just have that sense about this group, you know, this tribe, this fellowship. Passion and content married, you know, and the potential there is epic, right, you know. I was just such a strong prophetic spirit on this house, you know, very potent, I think. I mean, we could probably just prophesy for the next half hour, 45 minutes, all of us together. You know, participating in that way. And I know many of you, you know, are equipped and ready to go, you know, so far as that goes. I like to have relational dynamic to prophetic ministry. I like to engage a conversation in prophecy with people. And that being said, I like a two-way street. You know, I like honesty. I appreciate honesty. I've never been one that's fond of pride. I don't like it in myself. And so if I'm relating to somebody in a prophetic sense and I'm wrong, I get something wrong, one of the details wrong or whatever, that's my opportunity to embrace humility. And I don't need to be evangelistic about something. You know what I mean? Don't stretch it and make it work. Be honest with me. The best of us see through a glass darkly. The very best of us do. Only Jesus saw absolutely clearly. Listen, even Sean Bowles sees through a glass darkly. No, he does. And so, you know, we're engaged in this process of learning how to hear and articulate and communicate the testimony of Jesus. And so I just had a couple words. I thought I'd maybe encourage a few people to start out with that rather than end with it. Going to switch things up just a little bit. Okay. I did get a couple names. So this is I got a few names, not by, from the Lord. I mean, I talk to people. So so where's Blaine? Blaine. Okay. Blaine, I just felt like, you know what? I got to say one other thing. Just put that on hold, Blaine. Okay, so y'all, y'all know who Ella Fitzgerald was? Ella Fitzgerald. She was the one who hit that note, a high something or another, and break glass, right? Oh, and the glass would break in the room. You know, she could look at one glass and sing. If this, there was another one over here that she wasn't looking at, it would break too. That's resonance. The vibration affected the molecules of that glass and caused it to respond. There's prophetic resonance. You know, if somebody receives a word, if and you vibrate with it, you take it. It belongs to you as much as it does to who gets it. In fact, I'm of the opinion that most often in a meeting when prophecy is done, the Holy Spirit gives words intentionally that will hit more than one target so that there's a it's a comprehensive embracing of the Lord rather than just an individual, well, you're special and you know, and you are, but you understand what I mean? So as you resonate with this, you grab it, okay? If this is you, you grab it. And I just have a couple of them here I'm going to give, but I think that many of you will receive this. Also, if you have a, is this being recorded? Okay, so, but yeah, if you have a phone, it'd be good. If you want to grab it for yourself, you can, or you can get it from the peeps here. So Blaine, this is real simple stuff, okay? This is not, yeah, it's just simple stuff. So I just felt like the Lord, I felt like he told me, Blaine, that that you really turned a corner just under a year ago. You just turned a corner in your life. And you really thrown some stuff off. And I just wanted to give you like a high five or a fist bump in the spirit, because you really thrown some stuff off, man. It's gone. And I want to affirm that. I want to affirm that. I felt like as I was looking at you, I saw you embracing freedom in new ways, new levels of freedom. You've already stepped into this. You've embraced this, and you're embracing it in new ways and bringing it to others, Blaine. Is that right, the timing on that? Is that close? Yeah. I just think you're in a season of rapid growth. You've been faithful over a long time period, but there's acceleration coming to growth for you. I sense grace on you. I saw you working, I think with students. I saw you doing something with a bunch of students. Is that right? Are you engaged? Are you looking at ahead at anything in that regards? Or well, there's grace. There's real grace on you with students. I saw college students. I think they looked like college students, but I saw you in a university. I saw you engaged with them in a real meaningful way. A lot of grace there, and as you step into freedom in those settings, I think there'll be just a ripple effect to your effort. Does that make sense? Does that resonate with you? Yeah? Yeah. Anybody else resonate with that? Who else has turned a corner in the last about year and a half? You've turned a corner in your life. Anybody else? One or two people. Yeah. And new freedom, new sense of purpose. Yeah. Yeah. So, Blaine, we just bless you in Jesus' name. We bless God's purpose in your life. We bless the freedom that you're embracing to give away. And we bless new arenas for you, new contexts, doors opening to you to express in new situations what God's given you. In Jesus' name. And then, Sandy? Yeah. So, Sandy, I looked back at you during the meeting, and I just saw this hen with big old wings. And she's just gathering chicks, just gathering them under her wings and providing such good care and such quality kindness and such strength, Sandy, and gentleness that you carry. And I just want to affirm your touch and all that's in your heart in regards to care. I think you care well for people. And I just, when I saw it, when I began to engage with this, I thought, ooh, I want to get in under that. I want some of that. I mean, I just bless that. I think you may not really understand the impact that the care that you provide has. Much of what you do is unseen, behind closed doors and one-on-one. But the impact of that, again, has that ripple effect and is just so profound. Are you a nurse by any chance? Well, there's a level of healing that you carry and release that looks very much like that in the spirit. And there's healing on many levels. I'd be surprised if you didn't see physical healing, but also healing to the soul and spirit that I think is in your heart. You've embraced it for yourself and to release that to others. Is that right? Those are the things that are valuable to you. Deep reserve, Sandy, of kindness and gentleness. And these are weapons of warfare, powerful weapons of warfare. The devil never sees them coming because he deals in brute force and control. Kindness and gentleness take you by surprise all the time. Blindside the enemy with kindness and gentleness. And clean his clock, basically. And I bless your touch in Jesus' name. Just bless. And the prayer, there's a quiet intercession that I think you engage in. That's so, so valuable, so worth it. You know, when the Bible tells us that what's done in secret, we shout it in public, that's not always a bad thing. That can be a really good thing, you know. So we just bless you, Sandy. We bless you in Jesus' name. And then I just had one other one, and this is for, I didn't get your name, ma'am, sitting here in the second row. Yeah, what is your name? Luciana? Okay. Luciana, I saw you engaged. I just feel like there's intercession on you. I saw a real strong intercession. I saw you in travail. I felt like he told me that. I saw you walking through like curtains of travail and tears. Travail and tears. You know what I mean by travail? Okay. Okay. No. Sorry. I felt like you've been praying into something and you hadn't seen the answer. For years, you've been praying into something and you haven't seen the answer. And I real clearly heard Father say real strong, the request is known in heaven. It's been heard. It's been heard. And I think there's I'm not sure if it's a family member. Somebody is like they've gone off the deep end. And you carry a concern for that person. Is that right? Or no? Tell me if I'm wrong. Father's got that. His hand is big. His hand is big. Your prayers have been heard. His hand is big. And it might not come out the way you think, but his hand is big. There's grace on you. And there's grace enough to go back up the family line as well as down. Yeah. So bless you in Jesus' name. Yeah. So, greetings from San Diego, sunny San Diego, Southern California. So good. I love Southern California. I've I was a California boy born and bred, and then moved to Nevada for most of my adult life. And I've only been back a few years in Southern California, but I'm very, very happy to be back. And when I was a kid, I came through Illinois several times, but this is my first time in Springfield that I can recall, and I'm having a great time here with you. It's a privilege to be with you today. Also, I bring greetings from about 40 intercessors that have been praying into this time in the San Diego area, and they've been praying for you, sight unseen, and so I carry them with me as I come, and a whole community of believers that are just breathing with this wonderful relational glory that Holy Spirit seems to be, net of glory the Holy Spirit seems to be throwing out over the world in this day. I'm here with Tom and Kathy Greiner. Tom Greiner was has been an advocate for me for years. Tom Greiner took me on my first missions trip over 30 years ago. He paid for me to go with him to Guatemala. And still smoking cigarettes. You know, he told me I wouldn't go to hell, you know, which I didn't believe. I was a little Nazarene boy, you know. I mean, you steal a cookie before you repent and you go to hell, you know. I lived out of fear, really. I was raised in fear, on a steady diet of fear. And Tom was one of the first leaders that began to dislodge me from that grip of fear into the goodness of God. And you know, he taught me how to pray for the sick, taught me how to relate to Holy Spirit, stood behind me as I prophesied. He's been an advocate for all of my adult life. I just really want to honor he and Kathy. They're dear friends. And I just can't recommend them highly enough. I mean, you get this guy in your corner, you know, it'll go well for you. So I had a great time with Rachel and Curtis and Andrew, and haven't met Jean yet, but Jen. Hope to. Anyway. I'm engaged, you know, in San Diego. I've been just going after the love of God in some new ways. I realized about 3 years ago that I'd spent all of my adult life as a Christian pretty much, well, I just settled for a whole lot less of God's love than I needed to. I'm surprised, you know, at age 57, how little of God's love I settled for in my life. I lived my life on bread and water rather than the table of goodness the Lord. It was there for me all along. I just wasn't aware of it. I found myself in a situation with some significant physical issues. And 4 years ago, I was taking 13 prescriptions. I was living in a room with the windows drawn, chronic pain through the roof, multiple surgeries. I carry a lot of metal and stuff in my body and still have, you know, I'm in pain all the time. I mean, I got chronic pain 24/7. And I was not doing well. And I was at a point of real hopelessness, really crying out to the Lord, kind of, you know, crying out of pain more than anything, but kind of aiming some of the cry at God. And I heard a guy tell a story about a man who went to heaven and was asked the question, "Have you learned how to love?" And he had to say, "No, I haven't." And he was given a chance to come back. And then the fact of the matter is, this guy actually died on Valentine's Day and left a legacy of love. People that, he's a very controversial guy. You know, whether he actually went there, it was just an experience. It's not important. The story is what went into my heart. And I realized, I'm 54 years old. I don't know the first thing about love. Love my neighbor? I know how to ignore my neighbor. I know my idea of loving my neighbor was a smile and a wave as I pulled into my garage. I didn't know what that meant. God's love for me, I didn't really know what that meant. I knew what it meant, but I didn't know what it meant. And I began to go after the love of God. One day in Escondido, California, I went out my front door deciding I'm going to love my neighbor. And I'd been actually in a little bit of an argument with my wife. You know, I got to do something, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And, well, if I can't find something to do, I'm just going to go and love my neighbor or something, you know. And she looked at me, and she said, well, I wish you would. And so I did. And I went out, and I thought, I'm going to find somebody. I'm going to take some trash in for somebody or clean up somebody's lawn or whatever, you know, do something nice for somebody. Only problem was I lived right on the edge of the ghetto there in Escondido, and none of my neighbors spoke English. So it's not easy to love somebody that you can't communicate with. But I went out and drove around anyway, looking for something. And here's a guy on a street corner with a sign, homeless, need help, whatever. I thought, well, you're not what I had in mind, but you're in my neighborhood, so I guess you qualify. So I stopped and just talked with him. I walked away feeling like $1,000. And going into the Trader Joe's a few blocks away, a few days later, here's another somebody with a sign. A lot of homeless in California. Y'all send your homeless out to us, don't you? Yeah. And so here's this guy, you know, with the sign, and stopped and talked to him. And he shared needs with me I couldn't meet. So I offered to pray with him. And I was, surprisingly enough, he agreed. So I prayed with him. And saw him visibly impacted in the Lord. I thought, well, that's interesting. And so I just began to go out every day in my neighborhood in Escondido. I had about a 6-block little radius there around my house. I figured, this is my neighborhood. If you come in my neighborhood, I'm going to get you. Yeah. You know, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to find some way to love you, even if it's just a sincere smile, you know. If I can talk to you. And I was in a little park around the corner of my house one day, and here's a lady laying face down out in the grass with bags and stuff around her and stuff strewn all over, and she's just passed out on the lawn there in this park. And I thought, and she's a pretty good-sized lady. I thought, okay, this might be, I'm not sure how to deal with this. By that time, I had begun to carry bottles of water with me and sock bundles. I take socks and nest them and put little cheese cracker packets in them, make a little bundle to give to people that are homeless, because if you're on the street, socks are gold. Clean socks are like gold. And those little peanut butter and cheese cracker packets last, and they don't need refrigeration. There's protein and carbos there, you know, give somebody something good in their stomach. So I approached her, and I said, ma'am, are you okay? And she stirred a little bit, and I bent down. I don't want to get too close because, you know, they might wake up and clobber you or something. So I said, ma'am, are you okay? And she picked her head up. She looked up at me, and there's a grass sticking to her face, you know, and she had, her hair was all tangled, and she said, oh, and she pulled herself up and said, oh, I'm so hungover. And I looked at her, and I thought, I bet you are. You know, she said, I got a bad headache. And I thought to myself, I'll bet you do. And you worked for that one. You earned that headache. That's a good one. And you paid for that headache, and it's yours. Are you thirsty? Yeah. So I gave her a water, and she drank some water and sat there. I don't know what to say to her, you know. And so I just said, well, you know, would you let me pray for you? And she says, okay. So I asked her if she'd give me her hand, and she did. I've found that if you approach people, that's what they always do, pretty much. It's a great way to connect and engage. And I'll let you go, but not too soon, you know. And so as I began to pray for her, I prayed for her maybe for a minute or two, just calling down and releasing the goodness of God on her. And all of a sudden, her head's popped up and her eyes popped open. And she said, it's gone. I said, what's gone? She said, my headache is gone. And I said, it is? Really? And that's when I realized. It's just that easy. But I'm not in church. There's no music playing. I didn't even say in Jesus' name. I just tried to love the woman and released healing to her, and Holy Spirit brought it. It was just that easy. I thought, well, shoot, this is fun. And I really started going after it. And I just decided, you know, that I've got about 30 years left to live my life. I'm going to go after this thing. I'm going to find out what it means to love. To love well. Both to be loved. I'm going to engage God in a way. I'm going to learn how to be loved by Him. And I'm going to learn how to express His love as effectively as I can, in as many ways as possible, to as many people as possible. And I'm going to take as many people with me as I can to connect with that. I'm not an evangelist. I don't feel I am. I've seen in the last 3 years, I've seen a number of people give their lives to Jesus. But I'm just trying to love people. I'm not a street preacher, minister, unless I'm walking down the street. I'm not interested in just another program. I've had my belly full of programs. As an end, I do programs. I do a little workshop. I've been able to present this little workshop for people, get them up and running, get them activated, stir them up, get them... teach them, you know, we learn a few skills and we all go out together and just have a great time raising heaven all over town and doing stuff. You know, I've been able to go into Baptist churches with this. I've been in Methodist churches with this. I've been in Wesleyan churches with this and seen every manner of follower of Jesus just respond so well. I was with a group of people recently. A lady way up in her 60s said, you know, I've been a Christian all my life. I've gone to church all my life. I've never had the courage to share my faith with anybody in public. And went on to watch her have encounter after encounter after encounter with people that afternoon. And, you know, just glowing with the excitement of what it means to effectively communicate God's love to, you know, to people that she meets. And I'm convinced that there's a lifestyle of love that's available to us. Yeah. I'm still engaged with this is a very steep learning curve, honestly. And I don't have all the answers on this. Every time I go out, I learn. In fact, that's why I continue to go out. I go out weekly with a group of people in Oceanside, California. We go out and walk around town for 2 hours. We meet, we pray together. We just go out and walk around town. Sometimes all we do is go and have a coffee together. Other times we'll have encounter after encounter after encounter after encounter with people and see people impacted by God's love in significant ways. Learning to approach life through a lens of possibility, empowered by and accompanied by love Himself. I'm learning to approach life with a lens of possibility, accompanied by and empowered by love Himself. Love is a person. He goes with us as we go about our everyday lives. He wants to connect with the people that we meet far more than we do. It's become about developing a heart of love, a lifestyle of love.
My iPad just froze. Wonders of modern technology.
Okay.
Paul visited a church in Galatia, wrote them letters. This was a church that was new church in the first century, was growing, was engaged in what had become for them an increasingly complicated Christian life. And as the church began to develop, apparently those had come into the church and were adding layers of religion on top of the relational approach to Christ that Paul had, the foundation that Paul had laid with him. So he wrote them a letter. In Galatians 5:6, Paul tells them this. He says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working by love." The Message Bible puts this great, I think. The guy that, Eugene, the guy that translated, he doesn't always get them right, but sometimes he really gets them right. And this one, I think he did. Galatians 5:4-6 in the Message Bible says this: "I suspect you would never intend this, but this is what happens. When you intend to live by your own religious plans and projects, you are cut off from Christ. You fall out of grace. Meanwhile, we expectantly wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. For in Christ, neither our most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior, faith expressed by love." Isn't that good? I think that's so good. Gets right down to the bottom. Let's just get down to brass tacks here, to be plain about it. What really matters? What's really important? How many of you have ever been to Disney World or Disneyland? Okay, if you could go to Disney World and you had 3 hours uninterrupted, nobody in line, you could do anything you wanted in 3 hours, what would you do? What's the first thing you would do? Space Mountain.
Pirates.
Exactly. That's a common response. How many of you would head straight for the merry-go-round? No. How about those little twirly teacups? You'd go right there. Well, now see, there's always somebody. Right. Space Mountain, absolutely. Because given that limited time and exposure, you're going to do what's most significant, right? Of course. Okay, if you had a free shopping spree down here at the Auto Mall, what vehicle would you pick? You could pick one vehicle, what would it be? Ford Raptor? Yeah. Hummer? The nicest car. If you're smart, you'd go, even if you didn't want one, you'd go to the Porsche or BMW and you'd pick the top of the line model, bring it home and sell it, and then buy what you'd want and pocket the money to drive for the rest. Okay. How many of you would head straight to the used Chrysler lot? One car to pick. Oh, I want that used Chrysler van, that minivan, the one with the stains on the seat. That's the one I want. No. Given that limited choice, you're going to choose what's most valuable, right? Of course. You have a house of hungry kids. You have $20 to spend on groceries. Where are you going to go? What are you going to buy? Spaghetti. How many of you would head straight for the magazine rack? Of course not. Because given those limited resources, you're going to choose what's most important, right? Listen, the 80 years of life we have on this planet is just like that $20. It's just like that 3 hours. How are you going to spend it? God gave it to you. The hours that are ticking away are yours to live. You get to choose what you do with them. How will you spend yourself? It's a choice. we get each one of us to decide, and we will answer for that. We will give an account for that. I've decided I'm going to spend my life on what really matters. Jesus told us what that was. He said, you do two things. And Mark and in Matthew both are accounts of the conversations Jesus had with the Pharisees, where they would question him, and you know, and he just said, hey, just do basically these two things. Love the Lord your God with everything you got, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do those two things, you get them all. And then he went on to say, in Mark, he goes on to say, one of the guys he was talking to said, well, that's right, Jesus. The guy said, not only that, you're not far from the kingdom of God. The implication being that when I engage in these two things, I approach the kingdom. I lean into the kingdom. The kingdom draws near. All I have to do is love God and be loved by him and love my neighbor. And I bring the kingdom. It's just that simple. Christianity for many of us has become very complicated. There's a lot to remember, a lot to engage in, a lot to do. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. But if they're not done out of love, may end up running on fumes. Limited resources. And then Jesus went on to say, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13, 34 and 35. See, all men will know that we're his Jesus' disciples by our love. Jesus didn't say, all men will know that you're my disciples by your Christian bumper stickers and t-shirts. He didn't say, all men will know that you're my disciples by the stand you take against evil. Not what he said. Now, love will take a stand. It will. Love will die taking a stand. Love will take the ultimate stand. But that's not where we go. It's the love of God. It's the love of God. Not by our words or dress. Jesus didn't say, all men will know that you're my disciples by the miracles that you do. He said, they'll know by your love one for another. And so here's a question. How are they going to know that we're his disciples by our love one for another if we only do it inside these four walls? Well, one answer would be, well, we invite them in to see us. We invite them into our church. They can watch us love one another, and then they'll know that we're his disciples. And that's true. That's one approach. But the implication there is, this is supposed to be done in public. This is all in public. This is public stuff here. Matthew 5, 13 to 16, and then I'm going to read out of the message. Just read this to you, and then we're going to have a few examples of stuff, and then we wrap it up here. Jesus says this, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be the salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Isn't that good? Eugene hit that one good too. The whole reason we're here is to affect that world. The light that you carry is meant to shine in the darkness. The saltiness that you carry, that you can give away, the flavor that you impart to the world, to culture, to society, is meant to bring the goodness of God and the kingdom of God to the world around us. It's not just to be swapped and shared between us in here. Of course we do that. We encourage one another. We build one another up. Of course we do that. But why? Jesus didn't come to make us feel good. He came to make us alive. God's not so disgusted with the world that he gave his son. He's so in love with the world that he gave his son. We got to offload some of this disgust. We got to disconnect some train cars of judgment and contempt and engage in the love of God that says, world, I love you so much, I'm willing to die for you. I'm passionate about these themes. I'm not angry. You know me, you know I'm not an angry guy unless I'm hungry. But then it's hangry, not angry. So. See, God has an attitude problem. Paul put it this way, Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, God, when God poured himself into Jesus, when Jesus showed up as a human, he didn't compromise his godliness or holiness one bit while still becoming understandable and relatable to us. That's what the incarnation is all about. Jesus coming to us. That's what you and I get to do. You and I are ambassadors of that reconciliation. We carry that. Do you know that Father in heaven has given each one of us paperwork that gives us the authority and the responsibility to carry and communicate reconciliation to the world, not judgment? The news is good, not bad. It is. Regardless of the reports, the news is good. So, I've completely got off track here, but that's all right. So, God is love. Love is a person. That person is Jesus. The perfect example, the perfect role model is Jesus. How many want to be like Jesus? I do. I desperately do. Peter tells us, gives us an eyewitness example of what Jesus was like. Peter says he came out of Nazareth. Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. He went through the country, helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. He was able to do all this because God was with him. That's Acts 10:38. That's what Jesus was like. If you want to be like Jesus, if you really want to be like Jesus, here's your assignment. Go around doing good and healing everybody who's oppressed. Listen, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have all the healing you'll ever need for anybody you've ever met. If you have Jesus in you, you have all the healing you'll ever need for everybody you've ever met. Met a lady in the streets of Oceanside recently. I'm going to put that first video up. The one. Wait, is it the first one? I got it all switched up here, so.
Okay, so Michelle,
hi.
Right?
Yeah, my name is Michelle. I have chronic,
yes.
chronic pain.
Yeah. Yes.
And Jamie and Becky just healed me. It's amazing. The power of Jesus is amazing. He definitely does have healing power. They were praying for me, and I had a vision.
Yeah.
Jesus is alive and well, and I have fibromyalgia,
that's
osteoporosis,
crazy.
2 slip discs, 2 titanium
yeah.
rods. I'm in severe pain. I can't even get up in the morning. I can't even get up. I couldn't
right.
even walk. I was limping around, holding my back, and now
look at you go.
Look at me.
Nope. So your pain wasn't 8 between 0 and 10. It wasn't 8.
It was 8.
Now where are you at?
Completely dissipated.
Completely gone.
Completely gone.
Come on, Jesus.
I can walk.
Come on,
it's
Jesus.
Completely gone.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
I'm straight.
So good. So good.
I'm walking.
Yeah, Michelle.
It's amazing.
That's great, isn't it?
And I do believe yeah. in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Totally
yeah. So you know, right? You know that we didn't heal you.
No,
we just hooked
Christ
you up.
Did.
We just hooked
Jesus
you up.
Christ
so
did
right. Yeah, yeah. But
hooked me up
yeah.
because they have
it's so
a gift,
good.
By the power of God.
Yeah, Michelle.
They have a gift in Jesus' name.
Yeah, and peace to you. Peace to you going forward too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Show this video to other people.
So good.
Yeah,
so
Lord.
Good. All right.
That's Michelle. That's been the last 2 weeks. Here's a gal we met. She was sitting in a car with another homeless person that we built a relationship with. And I just went around the car to begin to talk to her and find out where she was at. And I just felt like, you know, I could tell she was in some pain. It wasn't a word of knowledge. She was wincing, you know. So I asked her if we could pray for her. She was sitting in the car there, just prayed a brief prayer. She sat there in the car, asked her how she felt, oh, okay, and then asked her to get out and try it out, and that's what happened. And she was almost pain-free when she got out. She said, I still got a little tightness in this area, in that area, so we prayed a second time for her, and all the tightness went away. Holy Spirit showed up. She's standing out in the street. Her van is right there. We're praying for her. Holy Spirit begins to just fall on her. She starts kind of doing this bob and weave thing. I thought, oh, God, she's going to fall out here in the street. And you can see she's not a small woman. And so we kind of helped her back against her van, and she just leaned up against her van. And Holy Spirit just blasted her with goodness. For about 3 or 4 minutes, she's leaning there against her van with her eyes closed. She says, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. He's got a crown for me. I see Jesus. I don't know if she's having a vision or what. I mean, unprompted. I mean, this is just going on. I'm looking at my friend. My friend's looking at me. What? Really? And she opens up her eyes. She says, I think Jesus has something for me. Maybe I'm special. Maybe Jesus has something special for me. And we told her, absolutely, you know, he absolutely does. And you absolutely are special, you know. Just took the time to stop. The goodness of God, the love of God. The love of God is enough. The love of God is enough. So a short time later, we met a woman in the bus depot there in Oceanside. And attractive woman, somewhat intoxicated, which doesn't bother me. I spent a good bunch of my life intoxicated, so I understand all that. You know, I'm not put off by stuff. The goodness that's in me is so much better than anything the world has to offer. I'm no longer on the defense. Listen, you never have to be on the defense when it comes to sin. The goodness that's in you is the overwhelming force. It is. I've seen heroin junkies in withdrawal calm right out. And go into pieces, Holy Spirit shows up and touch them. Just for stepping in there and creating a gap. You know, a spark plug won't work without a gap. You and I get to create that gap through the situations that we set up with people. Give him a chance to move, and he will. 9 times out of 10. And the 1 time out of 10 that he doesn't move, if you're loving that person, they're not going to care. You're going to care more about it than they do. I have a picture of a guy with a crutch. Can you put that up? No, it's the guy with the crutches, number 5, I think. It's not there?
Go.
Guy with crutches? Picture of guy with crutches? Do you have the, you have the stick there? Okay, click the media folder. I'm sorry. I guess I didn't get it set up right. I double-checked this before I left, but it wasn't, obviously.
Okay, so Michelle.
There he is. This gentleman here. Now this is a we do this on the beach in Oceanside. Go out and set up a tent and put a sign on that says want prayer and just kick back and watch the waves and let them come to us. You know, I mean it's a very rough shift. We lay down our lives for the gospel. Carry the cross out on the beach of Southern California. Very dramatic, you know. So this man came. This was a guy that was the father of a young man that we had met here some weeks before. The young man had come into the tent, had a big bump on the back of his neck, and we prayed for him, and the bump disappeared like that. It was astonishing. I couldn't even believe it. I mean, reach for this stuff, and then when it happens, it's always astonishing. I mean, at least for me it is. You know, I'm always astonished. And so he brought his dad in, and this was his dad. They were homeless, living in Oceanside. They had come from, I think, Missouri or Mississippi or something, out. The mom had died. The dad had started to drink. The son had begun to drink with his dad, and they just ended up on the streets of Oceanside. So dad comes in, comes to the tent. And we had been relating to these people and loving them. I gave them my phone number and Facebook and been talking to them and, you know, helped them out with some meals and stuff, some different stuff. So this guy comes in for prayer. He said he'd fallen down a hill going to their camp and broken his ankle and went to the hospital. And this is the shape he was in. So we prayed for him, and he did not get healed. He got up and was in as much pain as he was when he got up. But I want to tell you something. A few weeks later, he got sober. And a few weeks after that, he and his son went back home. And I'm still in touch with them. His son has married, has a kid living in a house. Dad has moved back into, but they're completely reconciled to family and completely restored to society. I was concerned that the guy didn't get healed. He didn't even care. Because he was loved. See, if you love people, that's enough. Jesus defined the high water mark of loving your neighbor in the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus did not tell this. If I've been Jesus, I would have told the story like this. And the Samaritan came down the street and saw the guy and went over and prayed for him and healed him and raised him up. That's how I would have told the story. And that's what Jesus modeled. And you and I get to do that. It's not what Jesus said. Jesus defines loving your neighbor well, really, really well, the high water mark, as somebody who puts hands on, invests time and energy, meets some legit needs out of the context of their everyday life. The Good Samaritan was not on an outreach. No. The Good Samaritan wasn't even in his own neighborhood. He was going about his everyday life and saw somebody, went over and prayed for them. Or didn't. No, the Good Samaritan didn't even pray for him. He just met the need, took him to the hospital, met the need. Legitimate hands-on engagement with people. The same attitude that was in Jesus, who came down to our level and served us. This is what you and I get to engage in. We get to be like Jesus if we take advantage of the opportunities he gives us. There's people all over Southern California now that are beginning to go out into the streets and love people. people get together in groups. On any given weekend, 3 or 4 different groups will go out and just out on beaches and streets, praying for people, loving people, feeding the poor, feeding the rich. I know people that go into the Gaslamp District of San Diego, very wealthy people. They're actually millionaires. They'll go into a restaurant and buy a whole meal for a table. Some very wealthy people. And they do it intentionally. And the people say, well, why are you buying our meal? And that's how they engage them with the good news of the gospel. This transcends societal divisions. The love of God is invasive and transformative. And if you and I will engage with it, not only will we be transformed, but we will transform the world around us. If it's legit. As long as love remains only an idea in our minds, it's only sentiment. I don't have time for soap operas. I want the real deal. So I would like to invite you to join me in this. If you'll join me in this, will you stand with me? If you're not interested, don't stand, and there's no big deal. And you don't even need to stand. I mean, but I would like to invite you to join me in this. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. We just welcome you. I honor you, Holy Spirit. You are the Spirit of love himself. You lift up Jesus. You move in us, on us, and through us. I encourage you to just close your eyes and open your heart to receive from the Lord. I believe at times as I've done this, seen people have significant impartation from the Lord. One gal said, it felt like a big avocado seed was shoved down my throat, and it's still inside of me. I can feel it. And she's gone on to just, she's a flaming, she's a torch now. So Holy Spirit, I just invite you. Bring the seed of the love of God, the fire of his love. I'm going to read the Bible. Just receive. As I read this, we see people impacted. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. We know only a portion of the truth. And what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompleteness will be canceled. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us. Knowing him directly, just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God. Hope unswervingly. Love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. So, Father, push the seed of your love into our heart. Breathe on us. The breath of heaven, breathe on us. We volunteer. We step up and volunteer. Possibilities. Encounters. Divine appointments. According to your purpose. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, brother. Yeah. Hey, we want to. Amen. Praise God. We want to honor the Lord and Jamie this morning. So we're just gonna ask ushers to come and prepare. We're just gonna bless him with an offering today. And if you're making a check, you can just make it out to FCF or the HOP, and we'll just make him one check. You can, now we recognized, give you a minute here to get your checks out or your cash or whatever. We recognized when we were introduced and learned of Jamie's ministry that, there was probably more that the Lord would have for us than what could be accomplished in one initial meeting. And so, we're praying into, and going to ask you to pray into, having Jamie come back to do some of the workshops that he does. And I know for many of us, it would be a stretch to say, now we're actually going to learn something and then walk outside the door and do those things that we learned, okay? I mean, it's one thing to capture it in our mind. It's another thing to have it activated in our hearts. But we're asking the Lord for the timing of that. And so that in his timing, sooner than later is my hope. I believe this is the essence of the good news, is that Jesus went about teaching in their synagogues, preaching the kingdom of God and healing all that were sick. That was sort of Jesus' model. And to me, it's a good model, and it's one that I believe that the Lord is giving a resurgence for. So we just want to be able to let you know that we'd like to see Jamie come back and be able to actually, you know, whether it would be, you know, we set aside a Saturday and say, hey, we're gonna just start doing that stuff. So I want to let you know. Wait till the coldest day of winter. No, the poor California child will never get. So Father, we just thank you this morning for this gift. Lord, we honor you, Lord, in this. And Lord, as we go, Lord, we believe that we have received a deposit of that seed of love, Lord. And we believe, Lord, that you're going to cause that seed to grow. And Lord, ultimately, Lord, that the fruit that you desire, fruit that remains, would manifest in our lives. So we bless you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's receive our offering.